back in, everybody. Draft season still in flow right now for the National Football League and the Minnesota Vikings. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and we are here to talk about it at the Wobcast 2.0. It's yours truly, Wobby, with you as always, my partner and my co-host, Giles. Can't stop talking or texting or pre-recording meeting talking about the NFL draft and the prospects of the Vikings trading up, Giles. So, you know, we talk enough in our sort of our pre-recording meeting. We should probably hit record right away when we log on and see each other. Because by the time we're done, like, pre-meeting and talking, like, production meeting, what we're going to talk, we basically have an episode done. So we should learn and record right away. But you know, I don't think it's unique to us here, Giles. You know, whether I'm going out to shovel my driveway or to the mailbox, or I'm, you know, hanging out with friends or talking about you, if you're a sports fan, if you're a Vikings football fan, it's all you're talking about right now is the draft. And even if you're not like a big time Vikings fan, you end up talking in some form or fashion about the Vikings, because they happen to be one of the major players at the poker table. They have a good hand when it comes to draft capital. They have a need at the quarterback position, and they kind of have sort of an interesting front office situation with with Kwesi, teams knowing he's willing and looking to deal at all times. So it's really kind of a fun time to be a Vikings fan and to talk draft right now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when you think back to all the years past of draft prospects, this has to be one of the most exciting drafts in the last decade or two.
It is.
And
yeah.
You correct me if I'm misresearching here, but I believe if the Vikings do trade up and draft a quarterback somewhere in the top 10, call that 2, call that 3, call that 7, somewhere in between, this will be the first time in like 100 years, essentially, that the Vikings have drafted a quarterback in the top 10.
What?
In the first round. We have drafted quarterbacks in the first round, but not a top 10 capacity. So I think that will be kind of a new horizon for the Minnesota Vikings. And I think, you know, I think in some ways teams have pulled the trigger on that and it's blown up in their face. Other teams have done it and it's worked out just fine for them. So I think it really gets down to, for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell, to really choose their guy. Don't get a guy just because he's projected to be number 3 and that's what you think. You want a guy that you think will fit your locker room, fit your system, a guy that won't blow up in your face and get you fired. Yeah. Who is a guy that can go elevate your franchise? We've talked about it before. I think Caleb Williams, really interesting prospect. I don't think he'll work in Chicago. You know, and if you look at that from Kevin O'Connell's standpoint, get the guy that you feel like will fit your building, your scheme, and I think it'll be just fine.
Interesting that that you bring that up, because how about the expectation then on that player, you know, mm-hmm. for the Vikings? Never a top 10 pick at quarterback, and here you have one. And it's a time in the franchise, like the franchise has an arc right now that pragmatically they're kind of rebuilding, but expectation-wise or appetite-wise for the fan base, they're not thinking like I think the fans are going to be optimistic, hopeful, and maybe even expecting a result that is a higher end than a rebuilding team. Like, you know, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson got Aaron Jones. I think people are high on Brian Flores, and I think people are more focused on the improvement they saw in the Vikings defense mid-season than they are on the drop-off it had late season. So mm-hmm. I think that all sort of culminates into an elevated place when it comes to expectations for the team in 2024. And, you know, the sort of the dichotomy there is, I saw that some sports books unveiled some of their win totals, and the Vikings, I believe, were at 6.5, I saw. So that is low compared to what I think the public in Minnesota and in Vikings Nation feels. And so now you add a top 10 picked quarterback into that mix, I think the expectation just stays where it is or even increases.
I could not agree more. Now, I'm assuming that that comment came out post Kirk Cousins, right? In the idea that we don't know who our future quarterback's going to be. I think everyone believes that we will trade up, but that's a post Kirk Cousins mentality. So that is not entirely unrealistic for a team that is currently quarterbackless. I mean, minus Sam Darnold. Some people like him, some people hate him, I guess. But I do think we are one of the best infrastructures for a rookie quarterback to enter. Now, I do believe we need to make some interior offensive line improvements when it comes to left and right guard. We still have a vacant spot at left guard, but outside of that, assuming we do fix that, we have one of the best infrastructures. You have the best wide receiver in the NFL by hands and feet, in my opinion. You have a top 3 to 5 tight end. You have a top 10 to 15 tight end in Josh Oliver. I think that potentially goes understated. Aaron Jones has publicly come out recently and said his plan for the 2024 season is to become the best running back in the league. Now, whether that occurs or doesn't, he's coming back with a vengeance. He has a little bit of spirit behind him, which I'm here for. If you can get one more resurgence year out of him, I'm here for it. And if you can get some good production and, more importantly, a good threat on the ground game, that's going to instantly improve your red zone offense. And that's not even including Jordan Addison or some of the other players. I think Speedy Naylor, Jalen Naylor is a guy I'm excited to see for your wide receiver 3 spot. But at the end of the day, that's a perfect scenario for a rookie quarterback to come into, because how many times do we see these highly touted quarterback prospects come out of the draft and people are like, oh my gosh, they're going to change the game. And then their first year happens and they fall dud. And a lot of people say, well, they didn't have a good offensive line, or they didn't have any good receivers. They didn't have this, that, or the other. And there's always an excuse that's put behind an asterisk. I think the Vikings are trying to remove that asterisk. Is this guy good or is he not? Because if he flops, then we know he flopped. It's not because of lack of resources. We have one of the most uplifting locker rooms in the NFL when it comes to our organization. We're here for even sensitive quarterbacks. We can help build you up an offensive-minded head coach. We have one of the best infrastructures you can have, honestly. I mean, can you name a better spot for a rookie quarterback this year for a quarterbackless team?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, if the qualifier is of teams that need a starter or need a guy to come in to compete to be the starter, is there a better place, right? So you're taking out Baltimore, you're taking out San Francisco, mm-hmm. you're taking out Buffalo, right? Miami, mm-hmm. although Miami yep. can maybe throw in there, but yeah, yep. I mean, I think Minnesota's number one, probably. I mean, what mm-hmm. better than Chicago, better than, in terms of infrastructure to support a young quarterback, better than Chicago, better than Minnesota, better than New England, better than the Giants. The Raiders need one, better than the Raiders. The Broncos mm-hmm. need one. I'd say you're probably better than the Broncos. Yeah, I mean, they're the best. Mm-hmm. It's the best landing spot for a young quarterback. And then throw in Sam Darnold being there. Yep. And it's like, if you're truly not done yet, not done baking yet, and you need to go a little bit longer, I mean, really, Sam Darnold can cover the spread for a little while until you are ready. I mean, so you're right, Giles. It's as good a landing spot as you can have, and it might be one of the better ones we've seen in a few years, really. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can overstate one of the reasons for that being the head coach. I mean, Kevin O'Connell's a big reason for that. Yes. And, like, I mean, everyone knows my affinity for Zimmer. And even if you didn't like Zimmer, you have to look back at his tenure with the Vikings with respect and appreciation for the success he achieved. But it was not a quarterback-friendly place all the time if you didn't have thick skin, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Derek Carr to me, like I've always used the Tom Brady reference. Like Tom Brady would have survived with Mike Zimmer because he's got thick skin. He's like uber competitive, thick skin. Like, but like that's such a high end example. It's never fair to use it. So I use Derek Carr. Like I think Derek Carr would make it here. Like Derek Carr, you know, makes mistakes and gets criticized, and he just keeps on ticking no matter where he goes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yep. But like Kirk Cousins is a better player than Derek Carr, but is more sensitive and struggled more with sort of the atmosphere that existed when he was here with Zimmer. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is O'Connell, I think, is sort of the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the culture he creates for the quarterback is much more friendly, and especially when it comes to a rookie, a wet behind the ears, inexperienced player coming in here. What a great environment. So yeah, you're right. The Vikings are probably the best landing spot for a rookie. If you were an agent for one of these rookie quarterbacks and your guy landed in Minnesota, I mean, you're popping the champagne, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Other than the weather, it's the best place you could go. Speaking here on a snow day here in the frozen tundra of Minnesota.
So anyway, it's I think quarterback is where we keep our focus here for today. And, you know, a guy we really haven't talked a lot about when it comes to the Vikings, Giles, is Drake May. And so, you know, after having not recorded here for a week because of some technical problems on my end, I think we got to pick the conversation back up and talk about whether we think Drake May is a viable candidate for the Minnesota Vikings. We haven't talked about Caleb Williams in this way because I think he's unreachable at number one. We have talked about the fact that I really like Jaden McDaniels from just a 10,000 foot view. And we've talked a lot about J.J. McCarthy as a fit for the Vikings because I think most people are envisioning a scenario where McCarthy ends up in Minnesota. So we've spent plenty of time talking about these other quarterbacks. So let's talk a little bit about Drake May. First, the profile as a player, Giles. You know, North Carolina, you know, I was pulling up some of his, just some of his, the raw data, raw stats on him. I have a thing on quarterbacks and accuracy. I think quarterbacks can improve in a lot of areas when they jump to the NFL and from one season to the next, but I don't think completion percentage slash accuracy is one of them. I think you are accurate or you are not. I don't really think you get better at it. Drake May is an accurate quarterback. 66% in 2022, 63%, 63.5% last year. You know, high passer rating and quarterback rating. 24 touchdowns, 9 picks last year, 38 touchdowns, 7 picks the year before. You know, so the numbers are there. He's 6'4", 230, got 2 years of experience as a starter. You know, I think he's more than meeting the bar when it comes to just the profile, height, weight, the look, the experience. I think you can question, you know, North Carolina, how many good quarterbacks come from North Carolina, level of competition, the fact that 2022 is better than 2023, don't love that, but I think you're picking nits a little bit there. He fits the bill. He's a worthy, from a profile standpoint, he's a worthy candidate to be in the top 10. So that's what I see. I got to admit, I haven't watched a bunch of Drake May games or film. I've seen highlights. I've watched a couple of his games. I've definitely talked to people about him who know more than I do and can convey opinions or use their opinions to help support mine. So I think he's a viable candidate. I don't scoff at him. I don't give him no chance to be good. That's sort of my outlook on Drake May, but what say you?
Yeah, I definitely have two sides of a brain about this guy because on one hand, he is the most accurate quarterback in this year's draft. Hands down, he is the most accurate quarterback. And when you think about the things you can affect and the things you can't, just like you mentioned, accuracy is something you cannot affect. So if you're looking to get an accurate passer, this is the guy. And when you look at the Kevin O'Connell scheme, being able to be accurate and throw balls into tight windows is an important element. I think if you're trying to get another Kirk Cousins-like player from that capacity, I'm not saying he's Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins was accurate, and that accuracy lended a lot of benefits to our scheme. This is the guy, right? I think he has the ability to be mobile. He doesn't necessarily have the biggest deep ball. I think that could potentially be adjusted. I think when you look at his mechanics, I think he's not necessarily getting as built on a foundation as much as he could be, in my opinion, which then could lend to a better deep ball. But I think outside of that, he is, in my opinion, he's number two in this year's draft. And now I know a lot of people disagree and they consider him three. But I think he is a great quarterback. Now, with that being said, I think when you look at the downsides, we'll get to cost here in a second. But the first would be his ability to deal with pressure. Now, to be very clear, I don't necessarily mean this directly as a criticism, but when his offensive line breaks down, he immediately goes into hero ball. Now, a lot of people, they get all antsy and they're like, oh man, that's exciting. I want to get a Patrick Mahomes. And I think in some ways, yes, I'm all about mobility saving a play. You just don't want to let that dance with becoming the play. We've talked a lot about that before. I don't want a quarterback that instantly says, oh, this isn't going to work, and then goes to play hero ball. You need a guy that can stand in the pocket and go dissect defenses if you're going to go the distance. And if that doesn't work, then you revert to mobility. But mobility is a last option, unless that's obviously the play. I want a player that has a little bit more control. And I do believe he can be adjusted from there, but I do think control is an area that this would have to be coached into. Hey, calm down. You can throw them up from the pocket. You don't have to do just one read and take off. Go through your three reads and then go from there. So I think that is definitely one thing that needs to be adjusted. Now, aside from that, we're going to get to cost. Now, we currently have the 11th overall pick and the 42nd overall pick. Or I'm sorry, the 23rd rather. So we have 11 and 23. Yep. Now, if you operate with the belief that Drake May is going to go in the top three, most likely third based on consensus, that means you need to trade up with the Washington Commanders. In order to make that happen, you have to trade probably the number 11, the number 23, and potentially next year's first round pick, whatever that may be. No pun intended. And that's a lot of draft capital, right? Now, if this is your guy, if he's the guy you've been pounding the table for in TCO, if Quezzy's like, hey, I want to get Drake May. If Kevin O'Connell's like, I also want to get Drake May, then go give up whatever's necessary to go make that happen. But let's say that's not the case. Let's say they like him. They just don't love him. Like, hey, if we were at three, of course we'd take him. He's a great shot, right? But at the end of the day, every quarterback prospect is a risk, right? It's a calculated risk. We think based on this, this, and this, he'll do this, right? But it is a calculated risk. You're taking a risk. If he is not definitively a guy you want to go run after, a guy that you're believing in your risk ratio for, I think there's a chance that this is a too heavy of a haul to make this happen. Like, is it stupid for the Minnesota Vikings to draft Drake May if that is the cost, if they are not completely in love with him? If you were to translate that to either loving a JJ McCarthy or loving, I mean, a lot of people are going to hate us for this, but like a Michael Penix Jr. Now, personally, I don't love Michael Penix Jr., but we've talked a lot about this, Wabi. I think quarterbacks are a lot like cars. Some people like one and hate the other, right? Like, yeah. Some people love Ford, some people hate Chevy, some people like Ferrari and hate Lamborghini, or the other way around. And I think there's a lot of variations to these quarterbacks that could get a lot of NFL GMs into a different posture about what they want and don't want. So let's say JJ McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. are essentially not quite even, but pretty even on your draft board. Would you ever entertain staying pat at 11 and 23? Now, yeah, we'll get into what we could do with the 11th overall pick, but there's a chance you could get Michael Penix Jr. at 23. Now, if that doesn't work, that can blow up in your face. But if you trade up and throw three first-round picks in there and that blows up in your face, you're getting fired too, right? So it's a matter of which is your guy, right? And if all of them are created equal, why not take the third guy and use up less draft capital? Don't give up next year's first. You could potentially use this year's 11th on someone else, like a Byron Murphy Jr. He's maybe the best defensive tackle in this year's draft. I don't want to make a complete Aaron Donald comparison, but this guy is great in the run.
Yeah,
exactly. He is a freight train in the pass rush, a desperate need for the Minnesota Vikings. And if you're thinking about bolstering a good NFL roster, more importantly, a precise Super Bowl window, right? I think a lot of Minnesota Vikings podcasts talk about the Super Bowl window being a rookie skill quarterback contract. If you mix that with an insane roster, if you could get someone at 23 and make it work, getting a premier pass rusher at 23 or at 11 and having next year's first, that's how you build a dynasty roster, right? Versus if you trade all of them, that can go away.
Yeah. So as a brief aside here with Byron Murphy, you know, I believe that you would categorize him as a guy who would be rushing from the inside, you know.
Yes.
And yep, schemes don't always match up perfectly, and I don't know how the Vikings scheme would match up with, you know, Texas's scheme, which is where Byron Murphy comes from. But I think no matter how you slice it with Byron Murphy the second, he's coming in here and he's playing on the interior. And we've already talked about, you know, the Vikings have done a nice job slash a great job this offseason of addressing the edge rushing situation with two signings, one of them a very high-end signing. So they have not really addressed the interior. In fact, they're kind of leaking oil on the interior because they let some guys go. And so this would obviously be addressing the interior in a very high-end way. And we've talked this offseason about how we tend to favor throwing resources and priority at the defensive line over corner right now, because even if you're great at corner but you're terrible on the line, the quarterback has all day to pass at this level. They're going to pick apart even the best secondary. So let's get good first up front and then keep building the secondary. So Yeah, I really like that. And what I would say about your submission here, Giles, of standing pat at 11 and 23, take a guy like Byron Murphy the second at 11, and then a guy like Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix at 23. The good thing about that is, Giles, I believe that missing on a quarterback that you take at 23 is not a cardinal sin. You know, because there's not going to be that natural hype
mm-hmm.
about Michael Penix Jr. that there would be about Drake May. If you trade up to 3 to get Drake May, or you just sit at 23 and just take Michael Penix Jr. I mean, the difference is it's two totally different worlds when it mm-hmm. comes to expectations there. So there might be people about ready to drive off the road right now listening to us talk about taking Michael Penix Jr., you know, left-handed, he's already 26, like all these criticisms of him. But when it comes to like an expectation standpoint and how you're going to be judged, if you're the Vikings, it's almost like a free pass at a quarterback. If Penix Jr. doesn't mm-hmm. work out, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, we took him 23rd, you know, we didn't love him, but we couldn't get the guy we wanted. So we ended up taking a stab at it with Penix Jr. and Darnold, and it didn't work. And so now, you know, 4 years later, you're gearing up to do it all over again. And Kwesi could survive that. Mm-hmm. It's real, really tough to survive trading 3 first-round picks to move from 11 up to 3, taking Drake May, and then that doesn't work out, right? That's hard to survive. In fact, I don't think you would survive that. So
no.
Is it stupid for the Vikings to trade up to draft Drake May? On the surface, I say no, it's not. If you don't love them, if you view May and Penix Jr., May and McCarthy, May and Nix in the same, like, if they're in the same cluster and you're just stacking mm-hmm. them, you can't do that. You got to just stay where you're at and take whichever guy is left in the cluster. But mm-hmm. if Drake May is in a different cluster above Penix, then I think you should pull the trigger with, yep. as you said, whatever it takes to go and get him. And I do believe you're right that you would have to move up to number 3 to take him. I think getting up to number 2 is going to be really expensive. But to me, Giles, the Vikings have positioned themselves. They're in the A position when it comes to teams outside of the top 5, 6, mm-hmm. getting up there to take the quarterback. The Vikings are position A. They have done that by being bad last year and having the 11th overall pick, and by making a good trade with the Houston Texans to get the number 23 overall pick this year, and by still having a first round pick next year. They have the hammer. They have the trump card, where if it's Denver, if it's Las Vegas, if it's Seattle, maybe even if it's a team ahead of them, you know, in the draft, that's also trying to work with New England, the Chargers, or Arizona to move up, the Vikings have the hammer because they have that first round pick next year in addition to number 23 this year. Now, they're hoping they don't have to use all three of those to get up and get their guy, because maybe they only have to go to 8 or 7 to get McCarthy if they like McCarthy. Mm-hmm. But if they need to get up to 4 or 3, they got it. They have the hammer, I believe. And if the guy you're thinking about taking is a guy you have to get up to number 3 to go and get, that is worth 3 first-round picks if it works out. That's worth mm-hmm. 9 first-round picks if it works out. I mean, seriously, you got to sometimes exaggerate to make a point. But if the guy you end up getting is your Joe Burrow, or your Josh Allen, your Lamar Jackson, your Matthew Stafford, I mean, look at Matthew Stafford's career. I mean, if I said to you, it's 5 first-round picks and you can have Matthew Stafford reincarnate, 2009 Matthew Stafford, would you give up 5 first-round picks for that? I would.
I'd have to think about it a little bit because it's Matthew Stafford, but I see the precedent of what you're saying. I think more than likely it'd be a yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would too. So, I think the answer to the question that we posed in the title and that you just posed while we're recording is no, it is not stupid for them to do that. They have the hammer to do it. And I will not be surprised if Drake May is the Vikings quarterback when this draft is over.
So let me throw another scenario past you going this direction, because I'm in the same camp. I think, although I'm willing to ask the question if it's stupid for the Vikings to do this, I do think they should. Based on his accuracy, I do think there's hands and feet difference between the other quarterbacks and Drake May, at least the ones that will be available at that time. So I think it's worth it to go trade up. So that is true. The second thing that can be true is that when you draft your quarterback, your 5-year window time clock is starting. The ticker is now been set. If you are looking at that from your Super Bowl window, does it make sense to actually keep number 11? Okay. Trade this year's 23, next year's first, and the 2026 first to trade up to the number 3 and keep 11 to go get someone like Byron Murphy if you believe in him. So then you are now trying to build your win now window immediately versus if you trade this year's 11, this year's 23, and next year's first, you're not going to get a first round pick for 2026. Can you survive that from a roster building standpoint? Do you want your picks now or do you want them later? Right. I don't know. Just to thinking about that as an option to try to trade up to number 3.
You can survive that. It's going to involve, there's some ancillary moves that I think you'd have to make for that, Giles. Like, I think you'd be trading back a lot of times. So I think they have 2 4th round picks this year. One of those you'd probably trade back to get a couple more picks. Next year, you'd probably trade back in the second round. And like, you're probably trading back in a bunch of your other picks to get more talent, more darts to throw at the dartboard. But again, if you're right on the guy, on the quarterback, that is worth it. I mean, picks are never, when it comes to like your value on the draft pick, like how much is that draft, that draft selection worth to you? That second round pick in 2025, how much is that worth to you?
Yep.
It's never higher than right now. Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right now, that means a lot to you. Like, if you know, if you left that at home and you were 25 miles down the road, like you'd turn around and go get it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But like in the middle of the season when we're playing games and you're losing and you're losing and you got a guy hurt and you're losing, it's like it's not worth that anymore. Like, you want players.
Yep.
Right? Like you just need players.
Yep.
And that's how I think that's the better way, I think, to look at these draft picks than how we look at them right now.
Yep.
And if you've got a quarterback, you're golden. If you don't have a quarterback, nothing else matters.
Yep.
Nothing else matters. I mean,
I agree.
Like, I think Pittsburgh's roster is really good. Like, they have a great head coach and they have a really good roster. The Jets roster is really good. Okay.
Yep.
They didn't have quarterbacks last year and they weren't very good.
Yep.
And
quarterbacks are everything.
You need it. And as long as I said, the guy that you're talking about, and in this instance, it's Drake May, as long as he is not in a cluster with a bunch of other guys, he's separate.
Yep.
I think it's worth it to go get him because of the position he plays and how important that is in today's game.
I could not agree more. I think the more you're talking about this, the more I'm becoming more and more confident that we need to trade up and trade up for Drake May. It's just a matter of what do you trade to go get him? Do you trade this year's both of your first round picks, or do you try to retain one of them and then offer way more future first round picks and retain either 11 or 23 to go get another player to bolster your team?
So
definitely trade up.
You bring up a good point here, Giles, on what's the cost. I was a bunch of my friends that I used to work with at the Vikings got together to watch March Madness games this weekend. And so I hung out with them for a little bit, you know, and obviously we were talking about a lot of things, but this was one of the things we were talking about. Like, they even asked me what I think we should do. And my comment was, I can't say that I love anyone enough to like mortgage my future to go get them, but I also haven't looked at it as seriously as you guys have. But if you don't, what's wrong with just staying at 11 and 23 and picking players, you know? And like a couple of guys agreed with me and a couple of guys didn't, whatever. You know, we had some Drake May fans in there. We had some JJ. I mean, these are not, you know, guys who are making decisions. But I mean, they're in the building and they care about it like we do. So, but, a couple of them did make a very good point here about the cost of moving up and what is it. And it was almost like they were offended that it might take 3 first round picks to get up to like 4 or 5 because they're like, why? They're like, if like who's offering Arizona and the Chargers a bunch of first round picks? because and they're kind of right. Like the some of the teams behind the Vikings don't have that capital and that ammo. Like why do the Vikings have to give that up just because they have it?
That's fair. I mean, the Broncos certainly don't have it.
The Broncos aren't given 3 first-round picks to come up and steal a quarterback from you. No, they definitely aren't doing that, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you do have to be a stickler on, to a certain extent, be a stickler on value here. Like, we're not going to get fleeced. I mean, and my counter to that was, if I'm Jim Harbaugh or Monty Ossenfort in Arizona, I know you're coming up for a quarterback. You've talked about this, gals. If they know you're coming up for a quarterback, they're charging you a premium, right?
Yeah.
But my buddy is just like, really? Well, why? And then we're not coming up. We'll trade with the number 7 team then, and you can go ahead and pick the quarterback, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to take a quarterback, right? So,
yep.
You know, you kind of got to. You can't overplay your hand too much if you're New England, Arizona, and the Chargers here. Because you might have the Vikings backed into a corner, but you don't have anyone else backed into a corner either. So
that's a great point.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point too. And so I think, you know, you really got to be careful about assessing the cost, both if you're the team that's already there and you're trying to move back, but also if you're the team that's not there and you're trying to move up. What is the actual fair cost of that?
Yeah. Honestly, that's really getting my thoughts flowing, because is there a chance that we make another trade for players? And I do mean sending players out to get additional first round picks to give yourself even additional ammo, like whether that's players included in that type of trade. So if it's not 3 first round picks, are you willing to throw a player in there? Or, you know, obviously like, throwing those type of elements in there could try to change this paradigm conversation, but I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think it comes down to, you know, nothing's going to happen. I don't envision anything really happening here until the clock is running on Washington with the second pick.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I wouldn't
then the phones will be picked
up. Bears taking Caleb Williams, but like if I had to bet, that's what I would bet. I think the Bears will take Caleb Williams. So the action really starts when Washington's on the clock at number 2, you know, and that's when phones are going to start ringing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have an inkling that everything the Vikings have done to this point, letting Cousins go, signing Sam Darnold, trading for pick 23, I think is all geared around trading up to take a quarterback this year. You've been saying that for a while, and I think you're right. That's what this is about. But you have to be like, you got to shoot your shot when it's time to shoot your shot. And I think that time is most likely that begins when New England's on the clock at 3, continues with Arizona at 4, and then, like, the shot clock is winding down when the Chargers are on the clock at 5.
I would agree. And if it doesn't happen by then, I think things are free-falling.
Yep.
So then I think a run on a different position happens.
Yep. So the Vikings just probably are going to place calls with Washington, New England, Arizona, and Los Angeles Chargers. They're going to place calls before the draft and say, hey, we're interested in moving up for our guy. If our guy is there when you're on the clock, we're going to call you. Or just remember us, if you're trying to back out of your pick when you're on the clock, give us a call. We want to move up for our guy.
Yep.
I think you make those calls. And now those teams know, if teams call them, Seattle, if Vegas, Tennessee, the Jets, whoever calls them to say, hey, we want to come up to your pick, those teams will say, okay, what are you willing to give? They'll tell them. And they'll say, please hold, we're going to call Kwezi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he told us he's willing to move up. So we're going to take your offer to him and see what, and they won't say to who, but they're going to say, we're going to take our offer. We'll think about your offer. We'll think about it.
And then, and then the bidding war ensues.
They're going to call Minnesota. Minnesota's going to hear that offer and say, yeah, we can do a little better than that.
Yep.
And they're going to move up and take him. I think that's what's going to happen.
All right, full stop, hands down, fast forward the clock, whatever it is, 28 days between now and the draft. Who do you think the Vikings are taking?
I think they're taking Drake May.
Okay. All right.
I've come off of it. I thought it was McCarthy. Last time we recorded, I thought it was McCarthy. But the more I talk about this with you and think about it, and, you know, I prepped for the show today and took notes, and I think they're moving up for him. And I don't assume it's going to cost them 3 first round picks. I assume it's going to cost them 11 and 23, but it might be 11 and next year's one.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep 23, which is a version of what you were saying. You're yep. saying, what if they take 23 and next year's one to move up and keep 11? But it could be keep 23, use 11 and next year's one, or and the one after if you need to, and move up and take Drake May. I mean, I look at his profile, Giles. I mean, he's what Kevin O'Connell would draw up. I mean, he's 6'4", yep. 230, Division I, multi-year starter, yep. accurate,
yep.
good touchdown interception ratio. Josh McCown coached him or worked with him in yep. high school.
In high school, he was the head coach, yep.
Yeah, I mean.
That is not a coincidence.
I mean, this is the type, you watch film of a guy who's got great stats and you don't always love him. You know,
yep.
that can happen. It's happened with me yep. with different guys. But so as long as that's not happening, I think this looks like the pick to me.
Yep. I would definitely agree. And then it's just a matter of where we pick him, right? And that gets down to what other teams are willing to offer. And I've explored so many different options in my head and on paper, like whether you trade 11 and 23 plus something else, if you trade 11 and next year's first, if you trade 23 and next year's first. Actually, let me run that past you. Would you rather trade this year's 11 and 23 for the third overall pick? Or would you rather trade 23 next year's first and a top 15% player from the Vikings, like a top 10 player for the Vikings?
I'd rather do 11 and what's the scenario where I keep 23 there? 11 next year's one and a player.
Oh, I guess I didn't throw that out there, but that could be secret option C, where you could, I was saying, like, if you did 23 next year's first and a player to trade up to number 3, because then you could keep your number 11 and then you could draft a Byron Murphy Jr. I'm just really high on him, and that's definitely a pretty significant need for the Minnesota Vikings, and I would just hate to give up that prospect. If there was a route for us to re-engineer the way we're going to offer our trade capital, if you could get both. Not to make complete yeah. Texans comparison, but the Texans got a quarterback and a premier edge rusher, and they were an inferior team, and they went to the playoffs. And I think they are becoming a freight train in the process. So if you add an interior pass rusher like Byron Murphy Jr. or Byron Murphy II, I just realized that we have another player by that name. We'd have to figure out jersey names. But if you were able to do that, you would have one of the best defensive lines in football. Yeah. With the edge rushers that we just acquired via free agency, and you added Byron Murphy, that is a great pairing for a rookie quarterback. You already have an awesome offense. If you can have a fringe top 5 defense, that is a Super Bowl window that I think you're beginning. I don't know. Just throwing that idea out there.
I think that 23, a one next year, and a non-1 the year after should be enough to get up there and do it.
Then I would do that, personally.
Maybe it's not, though. You might need, because I think you said a 1 in 25 and 26, didn't you?
That was another scenario that I'd thrown out previously, but this would be a first year this year, but number 23 this year, first round pick next year, and a player was my suggestion. But just exploring, how could you keep number 11 and still trade up to number 3?
Like, are you saying it's got to be like Brian O'Neill, or it's got to be like
I would love to throw in like a Cam Bynum or a Josh Metellus. Now, granted, that's me speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm trying to devalue the safety position in some context, but yeah. Someone that has a small cap hit but has above average performance. I mean, Josh Metellus was one of the best safeties in the NFL last year, and he's making like $5 or $6 million, right? That's great value for a team where you're getting premier performance for a low key price. And if you can get that with two first round picks, would someone like the Patriots say yes to that?
Yeah, they might.
Patriots, you know,
might. Yeah. Cause you're selling the head coach there on the idea of a young, moldable, high potential safety. Gerard Mayo would be into that.
Yeah. That doesn't cost a lot for them. It's not like they're having to pay him $20 million.
Yeah. I love the idea of keeping 11 and still getting Drake May or my guy. I like mm-hmm. that. And if you're right on your guy, it's worth not having those first round picks later on. Cause every time you don't have a first round pick, you just, you know, pat yourself on the back. It's like, the reason we don't have this is because we found our quarterback. I'd much rather have my quarterback than that dumb pick. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the whole Les Snead F them picks situation. Yeah. Like, we got a quarterback in the Super Bowl, F them picks. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
man, I don't know. I to steal your shtick, I pay for stuff. That's what you always say. I kind of like the idea of walking away from this draft being like, we're done and we got our quarterback and it's paid for. I like that.
Fair enough. All right. You know? That's fair. Yep. Let's be one and done.
Getting Byron Murphy Jr. or that edge rusher from Alabama or.
Yeah. Dallas like Turner, that. Chop Robinson. Yeah. Yep. You know, the issue with getting a Chop Robinson or a Dallas Turner is that we already have two edge people in the room. That would be you drafting for the future, which, to be very clear, I'm okay with. It would just be letting yourself know that, you know, for the next year or two, you're going to have excess edge rushers. Or if you're thinking like an Andrew Van Ginkle is going to be your three.
So, yeah, you're interesting, Giles, that you bring up just the fact that the Texans did this, and you've got Danielle Hunter going to the Texans and the Vikings signing two Texans players and D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud mm-hmm. last year. And then it's Drake May and Byron Murphy mm-hmm. Jr. this year with Kevin O'Connell. I mean, that works. It's a copycat league. I can see that. I guess, you know, you're asking me, I don't want to ride the fence. So I would do that. I would do keep 11, but use 23 next year's one and a one after that if it takes that, or 23 next year's one and a player to move up to get May, but you keep 11. I would do that. That's what I would do. That's my answer. I would do that. And you're basically replicating what the Texans did with CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, just on a little bit lower level, because they were, I think they were both top five picks. So you're
yeah, it was two and three. Yep.
Yeah. Two and three. So.
But I do believe Byron Murphy II, rather, is this year's Will Anderson from the interior.
Yeah,
I do believe that. He is a freight train that can tackle the run from the interior. He would solidify your interior defensive line for many years to come.
So the way this would work then is the Bears take Caleb Williams, Washington takes Jaden Daniels, New England's on the clock, trade is in, Vikings logo comes up on the screen. Goodell comes out to the podium and says, we have a trade. The Minnesota Vikings, or that he would say, the New England Patriots have traded the number three overall pick to the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings select Drake May. And then everyone would go, whoa! And then ESPN or NFL Network on the bottom line, the bottom graphic, it would come up and say, no, you know, Minnesota receives number three, and then Drake May in parentheses, and New England receives number 23, 2025, number one, safety Cam Bynum. And then everyone would be like, whoa, the Vikings still have 11. Oh, my God.
That's yeah. how that would work. The draft party would go insane. Yes,
that's how that would work. I think
it would erupt.
Really cool. I think that's really cool.
It'd be a blockbuster trade for sure. But I think if you nail both of those picks, which is a big if, but if you do nail those, you have now changed your franchise.
I think they should do that. Let me see. I don't think I have Quezzy's number anymore. Nope, I don't. Sorry. Can't text him. You'll have to get a hold of him. Or maybe he listens to the show. I don't
know. Well, of course, yeah, Quezzy, pull the trigger.
I like that. Because it's, you know, what we talked about, shooting your shot. Pick your time, shoot your shot, and here it is. The Vikings are doing it, right? I mean, you're picking number 11 right now. you hope you're never doing that again.
Right? Yep. Yep. I mean, if you look at last year's deficiencies, it was one because our quarterback one, our QB one went down. So we didn't have a quarterback under center, right? So if you fix that with Drake May, the next biggest reason we didn't succeed as a team is that we could not win our one-on-one matchups on the defensive line. You've now signed two premier edge rushers, which whether they are or not Daniel Hunter, you have two at least above average edge rushers. If you can add an interior edge guy or an interior defensive line guy, and all three of those top tier players can win one-on-one matchups, you have now solved your defensive deficiencies, because I think the scheme is able to paper over everything else. If you can win on one-on-one matchups, you're fine. So if you can solve both of those with one draft, you have now entered your Super Bowl window.
Yep. Agreed.
Period. And I think you get JJ to be willing to sign a lesser contract and sign with the Minnesota Vikings as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, he could get behind that if he's not already. I mean, I think he's already going to sign, but I mean, how could he not like that? Right.
Yeah. Yep. The window is now.
All right, so we just drafted Drake May. Congrats.
I like this. Hang the banner.
Hey, I wonder if you made a list of all the things that we did on the podcast. I don't think we'd have any cap space left. We'd have no draft picks left. But we'd have a pretty damn good roster. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm here for it. Yeah.
We'd have T. Higgins here. I think, who else have we signed? We've signed a lot of really good players here on the Wobcast 2.0. We've drafted Drake May. We've signed T. Higgins. I mean, we've done a lot of things here. So
Xavien Howard's still available.
I think we signed him, didn't we?
We signed him. Ago. Yeah, figuratively. Yeah. Let's get him in the building now. Come on, it's snowing. Get him on a plane.
Oh man! All right. Anything else in your notebook for today, Giles, or did we cover it all?
No, I think we unloaded all of our draft picks to send to the Patriots.
I think we did. So now we got to go back to the drawing board and come up with something else to talk about tomorrow or later this week. So I think Boom. We can do that though. Don't you think so?
Let's make it happen.
All right. That's it for today's episode of the Wobcast 2.0. We thank you all for listening. Make sure you like, download, subscribe to the Wobcast 2.0. You can do that wherever you find all your other favorite football content. Once you do, we'll see you there. And don't forget, one of those places is on YouTube. So you can watch us do our thing instead of just listen to us if you're not already doing so. On behalf of Giles, this is Wobby signing off for now. But until next time, Skol Vikings.